Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Sunday service. Today, of course, is Remembrance Sunday, and today I'm joined by Paul.
Good morning. Good to be with you, Andrew. Yeah,
nice to see you, Paul. Thank you for sharing this service with me. And this morning, we've decided to bring you our service from within our church because it's Remembrance Sunday, and we're just going to do it this way this week. So before we go any further, let's just pause for a moment and let's just pray. So please join me in prayer. O God, our Father, we come to you on this Remembrance Sunday morning when the thoughts of many are turned to the great service and sacrifice of many people. We praise you today for your unfailing love, your constant care, your faithful provision, your enduring justice, your holy name, the promises of your peace to those who trust in you. Thank you that your word says to us, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Lord, we pray that many may know that experience in their lives at this troubling time. We thank you and praise you for the Lord Jesus, who said, greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And remember how the Lord Jesus fulfilled this. Lord, we pray that you'll draw near to us this morning, that you'll receive our praise, that you will speak to us and that we might hear your voice. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So our Bible reading this morning is taken from Psalm 33. I'm reading verse 1 and then from verse 12 to the end of the psalm. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything that they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and to bring them alive from famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. And this is the word of the Lord. Well, we're now going to pick up some of the thoughts from that Bible reading as we sing together, and I can invite you all to join in and sing in your own homes this morning, and we sing together, God is our strength and refuge.
Oh,
hope very much that you enjoyed the opportunity to praise God in song in your home and through that lovely hymn this morning. We're going to watch a video now. It was prepared by the BBC for Key Stage 2, Key Stage 3 children, and it really reflects on why we have an act of remembrance each year, and specifically why the poppy is a symbol of remembrance.
It's a very special day. It's Remembrance Day. Every year, on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, people all around the world stop what they're doing to be silent for 2 minutes. To remember all those whose lives have been affected by conflict and war, and in particular, those who have died. The first Remembrance Day was held on the 11th of November 1919 to honour the lives of the soldiers, sailors and airmen who died fighting in the First World War. Today, over 100 years later, Remembrance Day is about all people whose lives have been affected by war and conflict, including wars since the First World War. Remembrance Sunday is held on the second Sunday of November every year. Ceremonies are held all over the country to honour servicemen and women and the sacrifices they have made. The biggest ceremony takes place in London at the Cenotaph. There are parades, and members of the armed forces are joined by veterans and civilians, young and old, who have come to show their respect. And people also lay wreaths made from poppies. The wreaths can include messages expressing gratitude for the service people have given. Remembrance Day is a day about respect, reflection, and peace. And that's important for lots of people, young and old.
It's a day to remember all the sacrifices people have made.
Respect the ones who fought for your freedom and died for you.
You'll see lots of poppies on Remembrance Day. That's because after the First World War ended, poppies were one of the only flowers that grew on the battlefields after the fighting had stopped. So they became a symbol of remembrance and hope for a peaceful future. Today, people wear poppies in November to remember the sacrifice of past generations and also to show support for men and women in the armed forces.
So the poppy says something quite special, and you see people wearing them on their coats, on their jackets, or even on their jumpers, like I have today. And it's reminding people of something that happened all those years ago, those who gave their lives in the war. I had a friend that I knew a few years ago, and he used to wear something really quite unusual in the lapel of his jacket up here. The first time I saw it, I couldn't really make out what it was. It looked as if someone had got a little bit of a zip, and it cut one side of it, maybe about a centimetre long, and stuck it up here. It was a little golden little line that he had up here. And the first time I saw it, I thought, oh, I don't know if that's meant to be there or not. But then whenever I saw him when he was wearing a jacket, sure enough, up in his lapel, up here at the top, it'd always be this little sort of golden zip-looking thing. And when I got a bit closer, I saw that it had two little red dots at one end. And so one day I said to him, I said, what's that thing that you always wear in your jacket? And he said to me, he said, oh, I once had to jump out the back of a Lancaster bomber. I'll tell you about it sometime. So at some point he was in an Royal Air Force plane. It got into difficulties. And the only way to safety was to bail out, to jump out the plane and use his parachute to get back to Earth safely. You know, I have to say that I never ever did hear the end of that story. He never ever did tell me exactly what had happened. But that's why he wore this little thing on his jacket, because of that event. Some years later, we went to live in a place called Letchworth. And in Letchworth, there was a company that made parachutes. It was called Irvine's. And one of the people in the church we were part of then, He used to work there. And they made parachutes and all shapes and sizes for all sorts of purposes that were used mainly by the military. And Irvine Parachute Company was begun by someone called Leslie Irvine. And in 1919, he made the first free fall parachute jump in the United States of America. In other words, he got a parachute, he put it on his back, he went up high in the sky in a plane, he threw himself out, and he fell through the air just freely. And then at a certain point, I guess when he thought he better do it, he pulled the ripcord and the canopy, the parachute opened up above him. It collected the air, it slowed his descent, and he came safely to the ground. And it was from him that that particular company got its name. And one day he was talking to a couple of pilots, a couple of lieutenants, and they at different times had their lives saved by a parachute. And as they were chatting together in about 1923, I think it was, one of them said, you know, wouldn't it be a great thing if we had a club for all the people who have had their lives saved because of a parachute? And as they talked about this a little bit more, they said, yes, and we could call it the Caterpillar Club. Anyone who's had their life saved by a parachute, if it can be verified, if it can be seen that that story is really true, they could get a certificate. They could get one of these little caterpillar brooches to wear. And they would be a member of this exclusive club of those who've had their life saved in this way. That must have been what my friend had that I first told you about that he wore in his jacket. He must have applied to become a member of the Caterpillar Club. And so the Caterpillar Club was begun. By about 1939, about 4,000 people had their lives saved by parachutes. By the end of the Second World War, that number had gone up to 34,000 people. And by the time you come up to 2014, there's over 100,000 people who have had their lives saved through using a parachute and who have applied to join the Caterpillar Club. I imagine by now it's many, many more. And that got me thinking about one or two things that I'm just going to share with you now. The first thing that I want to say is that the Caterpillar Club is about a life that's been saved. Somebody's in a plane, they're high up in the sky, something terrible has gone wrong. It might have been a bird strike. It might have been a mechanical failure. It might be an act of hostility. But for whatever reason, you're in trouble and the plane can't fly any further. It's beginning to fall to ground, and you know if you stay on board, you're going to be in trouble. And so you turn to the one thing that you've got, which is this parachute. Perhaps you might not have bothered with it very much before, but now it becomes the most important thing. And if it isn't already strapped on, the person puts it on safely and quickly and hurls themselves out of the plane and begins their descent to earth. And then, of course, the point that comes where the canopy opens and the person comes down to earth safely. And everyone who's in the Caterpillar Club is in that category. They have had their life saved by a parachute. And, you know, that reminds me a little bit of the Christian message that we find in the Bible. The Bible tells us that actually all of us are in trouble. Our sin has separated us from God. That our end, our future is hopeless. There's nothing we can do about it by ourselves. But the wonderful thing is that God has provided in a very special way. The Bible says that God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So rather than certain death, which comes through our sin, because the Lord Jesus has given his life, there is forgiveness for us. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the Caterpillar Club, it's about a life that is saved. And the Christian message at the heart of it is a God who loves you and has provided for you in his Son, the Lord Jesus. But you know, there's something else I want to say about the Caterpillar Club, and it's very simply this, that, well, where does it get its name from? Back in the day when the Caterpillar Club was first begun, parachutes were made from silk. People had tried cotton, but it was too heavy, it wasn't that effective. And today, things like nylon and Draylon and Kevlar is used, but there was a long time where silk was used to make parachutes. And of course, silk comes from the silkworm. And the silkworm looks very much like a caterpillar. Hence, do you remember what I was saying? The Caterpillar Club, that little golden brooch that person wore was basically a little caterpillar. And the two little red dots were, I don't know if it's his eyes or its things at the end. But the Caterpillar Club gets its name because of the silk which is used to make the parachute. So you've got the caterpillar, it comes to the point where it's time to make its cocoon. So it begins to weave or spin around itself a thread that comes out of its saliva glands. And some of these individual threads can be up to 1,000 feet long. One cocoon from one tiny little caterpillar can have up to a mile of thread around itself. And that is what's used, that is what is harvested and processed to provide the silk thread. But the reality is that in order to get the silk that's wrapped around the cocoon, that makes the cocoon, in order to get that, then actually the caterpillar, it loses its own life. And so in order to benefit from the parachute, in order for a life to be saved, many, many lives are given up. It's estimated that you need about 3,000 caterpillars in order to make a pound of silk. I have no idea how heavy a silk parachute is, but that's an awful lot of caterpillars whose lives are lost in the process. And the Bible reminds us that in order for us to be saved from our sin, in order for us to be rescued, that it wasn't a cheap, easy thing, that actually a life was given, that God loved the world so much that he gave his only son. And the Lord Jesus willingly came into this world. And on this day when we think so much of the sacrifice of others for us, Jesus, he also sacrificed his life in order that we might be forgiven, so that we might not perish, but have everlasting life. The rescue that comes through Jesus, it came through him giving his life for us. The motto of the Caterpillar Club is, life depends on a silken thread. You know, sometimes you see someone wearing a silk scarf, it's usually very pretty, looks very attractive. It's very fine, it feels very soft and very smooth, and you would look at that or perhaps let the cloth run through your fingers and you would think to yourself, you know, has that really honestly got the ability to hold up the weight of a person and to slow them down so that when they come down to earth, it's only with a bump and not with something worse? It seems quite unlikely, really, doesn't it, that something as fine as that, something almost so fragile looking, has got the ability to save so many lives. And you know, there are people who hear the Christian message. They know the storyline of the Bible. They've learnt about Jesus down through the years. They've heard about him coming into the world. They've heard about his death on the cross. They've even thought about the empty tomb, that Jesus came back to life again. And they think to themselves, can that really be the way that God loves me and wants to save me and be part of my life? And perhaps they look at themselves and they think, no, that isn't really for me. That must be for somebody else. It wouldn't be for somebody like me. And they think, I just can't rely upon this. It's too flimsy. It's not reliable. You know, if you're in that plane and you're in trouble and the parachute is the only thing that's between you, your life and death, you're going to take the parachute and you're going to go for it, and you're going to use it, and you're going to give your all to it. And yet, as you're coming down, you're going to start thinking about, oh, is this a flimsy bit of cloth? You're just going to be so grateful that your descent is safe. And what God has done and provided for us in the Lord Jesus, although perhaps to the eyes of some it seems oh so unlikely, it really is the way that God has provided so that we can really know him for ourselves. You know, the last thing I want to say about this morning and the Caterpillar Club is that, you know, every single person who's a member of the Caterpillar Club, they've each got their own individual story. I'm so sorry that I never ever got to hear the story of my friend who once jumped out the back of a Lancaster bomber. I wonder what the circumstances was. I wonder what really happened. I will never know. But you can be sure of this, he will have told the story to some people. And everyone who's been saved by a parachute and everyone who's a member of the Caterpillar Club, they will have told people about the times when their life was saved in this particular way. Every story will have been different. All sorts of people from all sorts of nationalities, all sorts of different planes, all sorts of different pieces of equipment, all sorts of different circumstances. And yet one thing holds them all together, and that is that their lives were saved by a parachute. The youngest member of the Caterpillar Club was a teenager, a lad who was out with his dad in a glider flying over Scotland, and I don't know what happened, but they got into difficulties and dad and son both had to jump out and rely upon their parachutes to bring them down to safety. And you know, those who have been rescued and saved by the Lord Jesus, they all have their own story to tell. If you know the Lord Jesus, you have your own unique story to tell about how Christ came into your life and how he saved you. And you know, we don't tell these stories to draw attention to ourselves. We tell these stories to just say how grateful we are for the person who rescued us. But you know, there are times when really perhaps we should speak more openly about the wonderful thing that God has done for us in Jesus, that through him giving his one and only son, through him coming into this world, that we will not perish but have everlasting life. I certainly hope that none of us will be in a situation where we really need to depend on a parachute to save our lives because we're in such a dicey situation in a plane. But I do know that all of us, we do need to receive the love that God has held out to us in his Son, the Lord Jesus. That he loved us so much that he gave his one and only Son. That whoever, anybody, whoever you are, if you trust in the Lord Jesus, you will not perish but have everlasting life. I hope you'll do that. I hope you'll know it's true in your life. And I hope you'll tell other people about that story as well. Well, we have an opportunity now to have a song. We can sing it in our homes or wherever we're watching. And the song that we're going to have is, He Came to Earth Not to Be Served.
Oh,
We've just moved across here to the side of the church where we have a war memorial for the First World War at the top and the Second World War at the bottom. And Paul, it's quite noticeable there's many more names on the one at the top.
Yes, and that's nearly always the case, actually, Andrew, that we find that there were more young men who lost their lives in the Great War. So that's quite common, actually. Mm.
And one of the things I've said it before is that when I see particularly the names at the top, but also the names below, these are people who will have sat in these very seats.
Yes.
Where you sit on a Sunday or where you come as a visitor, you just never know, one of those seats might have been a regular place where one of these people who were called up and served their country and paid the ultimate sacrifice used to come and worship in this very place. But Paul, you're a history teacher, you have phenomenal knowledge about this, but every year there's perhaps a different thing that comes to mind. You know, what particularly today would you be thinking of?
Sure. I think most years, actually, I do tend to think about visiting Tietfal, which is the great memorial to the missing. It's on the Somme in northern France. And for many, many years, when I was a teacher, we used to take our year nine students there. And they would spend the whole day investigating the trenches and bomb craters and all kinds of exciting things. And then at 6 o'clock in the evening, when it was just beginning to get dark, we would assemble just under the arch there, and we would get some of the youngsters to lay a wreath in memory of one of their ancestors. We usually had at least half a dozen out of a group of 120 who had ancestors who were buried or whose names were on the memorial there. Mm. So they would lay a wreath and we would have a 2 minute silence. And standing with all those young people underneath those arches and remembering the sacrifice of all those other young men from those years before, that's always been very, very special to me. Mm. And the reaction of our year nine students, I had some fairly hard nuts who came along with me. And I've seen some of them, Andrew, stood there in tears because they found the whole thing very, very moving. So that's my abiding memory, really, of Remembrance Day.
Mm. Well, thank you for that. And at this point, we're just going to move in to have the 2 minute silence. So as we come to this very special time of remembrance, we hear these words. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. And now let's be still in the presence of God. And let us pray. Almighty Father, you call your children to live in love and harmony, and have given your Son to be our Saviour, the Prince of Peace. Grant that we, who are called by his name, may yield our lives to your service and strive for reconciliation, understanding and peace in all our relationships, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. And today we remember particularly those who have been affected and are being affected by conflict and war. We pray particularly for the widow, the orphan, and all who are bereaved, the wounded, those who have been maimed, those who suffer ongoing physical challenges, for those who have suffered great traumatic stress and continue to struggle with mental health, for those who are traumatized. Lord, we remember today the refugees who've had to flee their homes, who have no place to call their own, who have no home, work, or country. Lord, we pray for those in our own nation who seek to serve our country in the various arms of the services that we have. Lord, we pray that you'll continue to help them in the responsibilities that they have in keeping our nation safe. Lord, we pray that your healing and strength, your help and your consolation may be given wherever it is needed. And this we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're now going to have some news from Paul, so he's going to share with us now.
Well, we do encourage you, as always, to take a close look at family news, which has been sent out to you. And there's lots of useful updates about those who need our prayers. And you will find particularly in family news this week that there are details about the Christmas find appeal. And this year, because of the COVID situation, find are asking that vouchers should be given. They can't obviously receive all the normal items and the Christmas gifts and that kind of thing. So please, if you're able to be involved in this, we would ask that you purchase a voucher. And there are details within Family News about where you can purchase those, or there's also a web link to enable you to purchase a voucher online. And could you, if you purchase a voucher, please send that to the church office or post it through the letterbox. And I have a note here also to say that if any of you find it difficult to get a voucher, then a monetary gift would also be very acceptable. That can also be sent to the office, and we will use that to purchase vouchers on your behalf. And this is a challenging and a difficult time for charities like Find, so let's get behind them at this Christmas time. There will be some further details next week in Family News about how we're going to do the Christmas greetings under these changed circumstances. So please watch this space as far as that's concerned. We're going to come to our family prayers now and to remember some of the world situations, but also our family here at Bethesda. So let's now all pray together. Dear Father God, we thank you for the privilege of bringing our prayers to you this morning. We thank you for the reality and the truth of family that binds us together. Father, we do pray for our nation as we enter into another period of lockdown. We pray for the isolated, the elderly and the vulnerable at this time, for those in care homes, and particularly for all our staff and residents at Eventide, that you will keep your hand of protection upon them. We pray, Father, for all those who work in the NHS as they face the challenge of an increasing number of COVID patients alongside the other winter health challenges. We pray for all the staff within our schools as they seek to keep pupils safe and to minimise the risk of the disease spreading on crowded school corridors and in classrooms. And Father, this morning we do pray for the United States of America at this time of great uncertainty and tension. We pray that there will be a clear outcome from the election without undue delay. We pray for all the officials and volunteers who've been involved in counting votes under such extreme pressure. We do pray that justice will prevail and that there will be a willingness to accept the result of the democratic vote. We pray for peace on the streets and in the hearts of the citizens of America. And Father, for our own church fellowship, we pray for those who have recently undergone medical procedures, those who have further medical appointments to come. We do pray for Graham and his family following the death of Graham's dad. We remember before you Belle and Colin and pray for them this morning, and Rose, and we pray for her this morning. And now, Father, in a moment of quiet, we would take that opportunity to pray for an individual known to us within the church fellowship. And so, Father, now we bring all of these prayers together with our praise to you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. We've been thinking in our prayers about a very needy world, a world where there is conflict, a world where there is great uncertainty. And we have a great message of hope. Andrew has been sharing more of that message of sacrifice and salvation with us this morning. We have a great message of hope to share with the people, to share with the nations. And our final song reminds us of that. Facing a task unfinished. It's the modern version of this song with a lovely chorus. Please join in and sing along as we close our time of worship this morning with this lovely hymn.
Facing a task unfinished that drives us to our knees, a need that undiminished rebukes our slothful ease. We who rejoice to know thee, renew before thy throne the solemn pledge we owe thee to go and make thee known. Let's stand. From the hand.
So let's just have a final short prayer as we come to a close. Father God, we thank you for our time today, and we pray that as we go on into this new week, whatever lies ahead of us, that we might know the lovely presence of the Lord Jesus, that his peace might be upon us, that he will guide us and help us in every situation. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Paul, thank you for this morning.
It's been good to be with you in the act of remembrance this morning. It is always a special time, I think, Andrew.
So goodbye to everyone at home, everyone who's watching. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.
God bless.
Bye.